T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wisconsin, and those of you listening to us beyond the borders and maybe on the radio.com app, I encourage you to get it, download it, enjoy it. As radio.com, you can take us anywhere and everywhere at all times. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. You want to get a hold of us? Plenty of ways to do so. You can get a hold of us on the radio.com app and take us all over. Download that app on whatever mobile device you have. You can find us on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, @RadioJoeSports. There's the Facebook fan page you can find us at. You can also find us over on the website, which is BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Track us down there. So, plenty of things to get into today, and we've got quite a few guests that we're going to have on. We're going to talk some basketball. We're going to talk some Big Ten basketball. We're going to talk some college hoops in general. We're going to get into a lot of different things when it comes to, we're going to talk some Brewers baseball as well. Here's the thing. Howie Schwab, who was on with us last week from Fox Sports, the bracketologist, he is going to join us and break down the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network analyst, also talking tournament. Matt Lewis, UW Oshkosh men's basketball interim head coach, winners of the D3 National Championship. We talk a lot of D3 hoops and football in this program. We're going to get into that again today. Brewers baseball with Adam McAlvey. Going to talk about that from the Cheesehead TV podcasts. Andy Herman is going to be here, so we're going to get a lot in coming up here a little bit later on today. So the issue that I took yesterday, I'm driving home. I got to be honest. I'm driving home yesterday. I'm listening to The Big Show, which is the afternoon show on our flagship station, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee. And I'm listening to Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt. They're talking about the Bucks, and Hubie Brown was on the broadcast over the weekend when the Bucks took on the 76ers at the Fiserv Forum, and he's not the first one to say that, oh, you know, boy, it's a little bit quiet in here. Now, I go back to the days when you had the Bradley Center, and the Bucks were playing some unbelievable basketball, right? You had the Bradley Center just rocking. I mean, every time George Karl took the floor, he was getting a standing ovation. Now, I know this is a while ago. For some of you, this is an eternity. And for some of you that are really young, you don't even remember it. But this goes back to 99, 2000, 2001. Okay? This place was off the hook, right? So, we fast forward to today. Now, this was, going back to that point, that place was just as loud could be. They had towel days, and I remember the lights shining bright, and you couldn't hardly see because of the towel fuzz that was coming off of those brand new towels that they were putting all over the Bradley Center seats, and people waving them, and there was so much fuzz in the air, it almost looked like a fog. And that place would erupt, okay? And it was considered, it was written about by the Sporting News as the best building in the NBA, the loudest building in the NBA. And until that point in time, it was either Sacramento or Utah. You know, those two buildings were kind of battling back and forth, but this became the loudest building in the NBA. So I went to the games early on in the season, and that building was pretty loud. People were excited about Giannis, and people were excited about Bledsoe and Middleton and Brogdon, and, you know, you start to put the pieces together, and the fan base itself was pretty loud. I remember I go into the Charlotte game. It was a Charlotte game. Come on. And that place was rocking. And I'm thinking to myself, this is pretty impressive. Well, as the season has gone on, the temperament has become a little more subdued, okay? So I'm thinking to myself, as I'm listening to this discussion yesterday, what is the problem, okay? Why are people saying that this is a quiet building? And then it comes up that, well, Bucks fans are bored because they've won so much. They just want to get to the postseason. And I thought about that for a minute. And then in my head, no, I can't say it on the air, but it would be under the category of WTF. But in my head, I began to get pissed off. And I know some of you think that way. And I know that at times I've even fallen into that category a little bit. But one thing that brings me correct is this. What the hell right do you have to be bored? That makes you a pathetic fan. And here's the reason why. You haven't won anything. You have done nothing but complain and bitch and moan and whine about getting a winning team, about spending money, getting and keeping a superstar, people wanting to come and play in Milwaukee, people wanting to enjoy Milwaukee. You always felt like the bastard stepchild to everybody else in the league, and now all of a sudden you're bored after 1/3 of a season? What right do you have to be bored? How pathetic a fan are you? That in today's day and age, after all the whining and all the bemoaning of the franchise and of the ownership and wanting everybody out, and then you finally get an ownership group in that you want, get rid of Kidd, you get in Budenholzer, everything you wanted, and now you're bored? That is either a sign of the times or the most pathetic fan base in all of sports. If I've won 6, 7, 8 championships, look, okay, Golden State, they've been that good for a little while. They've won numerous championships. Could they be bored? A little bit, but you see those fans just rock it. The Lakers fans for years and years and years, they rocked it. They're bored right now because they're losing. They're a bad team. The only excitement they have is LeBron. Knicks fans, they've been suffering for a long time. But I don't know if it's people that are actually going to the games or people that are outside looking in, but if you're bored after this, are you kidding me? Are you not enjoying, thoroughly into, exhilarated by the ride that is the Milwaukee Bucks, the best record in the NBA, and we are here knocking on the door of April on March 19th, 2019, the best record in the NBA, and you're bored? What right do you have to be bored? Either that's an erroneous statement, and I listened to caller after caller after caller yesterday call up and go, yeah, you know, some people just want to get to the postseason, which I understand. You're anxious to get there, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy the ride, because Brewers fans were into the games last year. Every damn pitch people were into the game, specifically down the stretch. Come August and September, you were in a race. You were chasing the Cubs. You were beating the Cubs. You were overtaking the Cubs. You saw something happening. It's something that hasn't happened in a long time. Not since 2011, and you were into it. But Bucks fans are bored? Come on. 855-830-8648. Convince me you're not. Let's go to Ron, listening to us in Milwaukee. Ron, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey there, Bill. How's it going?
What's happening?
Well, I was just calling in real quick. I'm actually a season ticket holder, so I've gone to...
So you would know better than anybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm at every – well, I shouldn't say every game. There's been a few I can't make to because of travel and whatnot. But for the most part, I'm at every game. Now, I will say the first time it really became clear to a lot of Bucks fans are worried about how we were too quiet, I believe it was that TNT game when we were playing against the Pacers, and they kept saying, man, it's quiet in here. That game, we were quiet because we just lost 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I was nervous the entire time sitting in the stands, and we were down the first half. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We cannot lose 3 in a row. We're just playing the Pacers who don't have their best player. We should crush them.
Right.
And we won, and everybody was happy at the end. I was there Sunday when we were playing the Sixers, and that was the loudest that place has been all year.
Really? Okay.
People were going nuts. I don't know if it didn't go over on the ABC broadcast or the Fox Sports broadcast, but every three, like even though Mirotić missed all threes he shot, which is a huge concern for me. Hopefully it's a one-game thing, but man, that really sucked. But, you know, missing those, every three he shot, everybody got up and was like, oh, like the crowd was getting into it. And I've been to a few Bucks away games. Like I was at Toronto last year, and the Toronto fans, every three, they were doing that. They were getting hyped up. Like, if three's going up, is it going to go in? Who knows? And everyone gets really amped up.
Right.
The Bucks haven't done that so far up until Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've seen it. So it's getting there. I don't know where this whole thing's coming from, unless it is that game against that game against Indiana, because yes, we were quiet that game, but it's not the norm. It was just, you know,
okay.
I was worried. And right now, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little worried without Brogdon. We'll see how things go. Hopefully tonight they can right the ship here, but I don't see it. I'll be honest, I don't when I'm in the stadium.
Perfect. Well, see, that's my point is maybe people are just taking it out of context. But for people that were calling in yesterday going, yeah, I just, you know, I'm ready for the postseason. And look, I understand that. There's an anticipation there because you think your team is good enough now to win. So it's just like, hurry up and let's get there. But to say I'm bored, you know, people calling up going, I'm bored, man, that is like, what the hell right do we have to be bored? We haven't won anything since 1971.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We can't really say that we're an incredibly bored franchise right now because
right. You're
right. This is the first good team we've had since 2001. Really.
Correct.
I mean, it's near the year dear for a moment, but really it's the only time we've been good. We should all be excited for it. Now, I will say, as a ticket holder now, like I am getting to the point now where it's like, do I really want to go to all these games like against Cleveland? Do I really need to go to that game? Probably not. I can sell that ticket and save up for the NBA Finals
that
we're about to make.
Right.
But I'm only doing that because I have future tickets that I have to pay for now.
Right.
Way more expensive than what I'm paying right now.
Hey, let me ask you this. Were you a season ticket holder at the Bradley Center?
Yes, I was.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you notice a difference in the clientele that is going to the Fiserv now since the price went up?
As far as the fans who are there, I don't see too much of a difference. They're the same type of people. You know, it's not like a whole bunch of really rich people like you see at like a Marquette game.
Yeah.
Where they're all wearing like, I don't know. Like
the
really
gold
nice
sweater bunch, yeah.
Yeah, like. You don't see that. They're still regular people. The big note difference that I see is that everyone's wearing Buck stuff. Back in the day, you know, even at the Bradley Center, like even last year, there were people who were, they'd be wearing some Buck stuff and they'd be wearing like a Packers shirt or a Brewers shirt or just like a green shirt that had nothing to do with basketball whatsoever.
Right.
And now everyone's wearing Bucks gear. So that's what I notice more than anything. I don't see
right.
a whole bunch of really rich people. Now, granted, I'm in the upper level. I'm not the lower level people, so maybe that, and that there's more seats down low. So that could be why. But the upper level to me looks like the same type of person it was last year. The same bunch of families, especially on the Sunday afternoon games. The same group of rowdy fans. People are getting into the games. And the people I sit next to, they're all really amped up for it because,
yeah. You
know, it's fun to watch a good team finally.
Ron, appreciate the insight, man. Thanks so much, okay? There you go. Ron drops off. You get on board. We're going to continue to talk about this coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to talk some NCAA college basketball. It's Hoop Mania. It's March Madness. Howie Schwab from Fox Sports is going to be joining us, the bracketologist, coming up next on the Bill Michael Show. Portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. They've been doing big parties, big catering events for a long, long time. Whether it's 10 or 10,000, they got you covered. That's the party group over there at Cousin Subs. Big party packs, 2-foot party subs, soup, salad, sandwich, whatever it is you need. Check out CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. And even locally now, some locations deliver. How are we looking right there? I know there's a lot of you that are just seething at my opening remarks and want to talk about it. We're going to get to it, I promise you. We'll talk more about the Fiserv Forum. We'll talk more about the Milwaukee Bucks fan base. We'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit. But it's time to talk some college hoops as we are on the dawning of the NCAA Tournament 2019. And to talk more about it, Howie Schwab, Fox Sports bracketologist, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Howie, first and foremost, how you feeling, man? What's going on?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yesterday was a little strange, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to be on with you yesterday, but I'm happy to be on today, and I'm doing better, thank
That's
you.
That's good. Good to hear. Hey, I got to ask you, so the two teams that we watch the most between the Badgers and Marquette both come into this tournament as 5 seeds. Again, Wisconsin is facing an Oregon team. It seems like that's always going to be the first-round matchup for them in some way, shape, or form. Let's start there. Wisconsin didn't play great against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. They get down. They had to battle back. It's something we've seen time and again. And then they take on a number 12 seed Oregon team who has been real hot coming into this one. But the Pac-12, as we know, is not real strong.
This is a tough game because Oregon's won 8 games in a row. Certainly has momentum after winning the Pac-12 tournament, which the way they blew out Washington is impressive. But the thing that's really interesting to me is I really think this is going to be a low-scoring game. You're talking about two teams that are so good defensively. Oregon led the Pac-12 in scoring defense, and Wisconsin certainly will play a slower game and play half court and just keep this game low. And I think this game's going to be one in the 60s, maybe even lower. I mean, it's really fascinating. I mean, you have Oregon has some shot blockers that will give Ethan Happ some trouble. I think they will be physical. This will be a really interesting game. And I just saw that the people in Vegas say it's a 1.5-point game. That, to me, tells you a lot. And, of course, the idea that it's 5-12, and every year we always seem to get a 5-12 upset, some years even more than just one. So I think they're trying to tell you this is going to be a great game.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the other thing is Dana Altman has a good track record. Oregon really struggled earlier in the year because Bol Bol, their freshman center, who's going to be a high draft pick, got hurt. And then after that, they really stumbled. But now winning 8 in a row, they have momentum, and this is not going to be an easy game. But if I had to make a pick, I'd say Wisconsin will win, but it's not going to be an easy game.
Then we've got the Marquette Golden Eagles. They get knocked out of the Big East tournament, and they have not played great basketball down the stretch here. But they get a little bit of new life heading into the tournament. And we just feel that, at least I feel, they're a deeper team than probably what Wisconsin is. Obviously a power scorer in Marcus Howard. But can they overcome the also dreaded 5-12 matchup going up against Murray State?
Well, when you talk Murray State and Marquette, the first thing that comes to mind is Ja Morant, who's going to be a top five draft pick in the next NBA draft, against Marcus Howard, who's had a terrific year, Big East Player of the Year. I mean, those two guys shine right off the bat. But when I looked at this deeper, a couple of things. Murray State, a great three-point defending team. They're in the top 10 in America defending the three. They certainly, to me, are a dangerous team because they have other players besides Morant. They have a kid named Brown who's a great three-point shooter. And this is not going to be an easy game either. Murray State got into the tournament by beating Belmont in the OVC final. But you know what? If they didn't win that game, they wouldn't have been in my opinion. I thought that Murray State's resume was not as good as Belmont's. But, hey, they got the win, and this is going to be a battle.
Talking with Howie Schwab. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Howie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm killing you today.
No, that's okay.
You need both Housers to step up in this game, too. And I think the inside play for Marquette could be the difference in this game. You know, the Seton Hall game when they lost in the Big East tournament, you had players thrown out of the game. You had some deficiencies up front. And Marquette has to be strong up front. And like you said, they struggle down the stretch. They lost 4 in a row before the Big East tournament. Then went 1-1 in the Big East tournament. They need a good effort. And the other thing is Marcus Howard hurt his wrist at the end of the Big East game against Seton Hall in the semis. Hopefully he's okay. If he's not, that's a problem.
Marquette taking on Murray State. We're talking with Howie Schwab, Fox Sports bracketologist. Now, everybody seems to think this is one of the easiest paths for Duke in the sense that this is a stacked team, and if Mike Krzyzewski doesn't win this thing, then there's something wrong. But we know that Zion Williamson seems to be back, and he's healthy, and he's committed to playing in this thing. But I'm interested to see really, whether or not VCU can end up giving them any kind of a game, or Mississippi State or Virginia Tech. And it seems like they've got a pretty good path, at least getting to the Elite Eight. Talk about Duke's prowess to either get to the Elite Eight or at least win this thing.
Oh, I agree. They have an easy path to the Elite Eight. I think Liberty may upset Mississippi State. VCU, Central Florida is going to be a tough game because anytime you try to go inside, Taco Fall is going to block a shot and give you problems. And it'll be interesting if Johnny Dawkins can beat VCU, and then you have Johnny Dawkins against Coach K. But we'll see about that. To me, Duke's road is relatively easy to the Elite Eight. But then if it's Michigan State Duke, that road is very interesting. I like Duke to beat Michigan State, but that's not going to be easy at all. especially with Nick Ward coming back. And, you know, Cassius Winston's had a great year. And I think that Trey Jones will try to stop Cassius Winston, but that won't be easy.
Virginia last year got the 116 upset, and they ended up losing in ugly fashion. This year, they're another number one seed, back with kind of a remembrance and a vengeance, so to speak. How well do you think Virginia does in this tournament?
To be honest, I pick them to win the whole thing. I picked Virginia over Duke as my final game. I also have Kentucky in the Final Four and Michigan to beat Gonzaga. Which is interesting because I picked Gonzaga before the year. That St. Mary's loss kind of made me wonder a little bit. So there's my Final Four. I guess I gave that away a little too early. But I think Virginia's a different team than the one that played against UMBC and lost last year. If for no other reason, DeAndre Hunter's healthy. DeAndre Hunter missed that game last year. That was one factor. And Virginia just got caught on a bad day. They couldn't hit shots. The thing that amazed me was UMBC was able to penetrate and drive and get easy shots. I think this Virginia team has matured. I think they've learned from that. I know they lost to Florida State, an athletic team, but I feel Virginia's going to bounce back. And I actually think the loss in the conference tournament is not a bad thing because so many teams work so hard to win their conference tournaments. Example, Auburn. I think Auburn's going to have a battle with New Mexico State. That's going to be a close game. I wouldn't be shocked again. 12-5. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. I think Auburn could have a real battle. New Mexico State's a talented team that dominated the WAC, won 30 games. This is not going to be an easy game for Auburn.
If Auburn wins, what kind of a game do you see them giving North Carolina?
Well, that's assuming they beat Kansas.
Correct.
Or Northeastern.
Oh, well, Kansas. Kansas. Okay.
Northeastern is going to give Kansas a tough game, too. I mean, what's interesting this year is the teams on the 4-5 line and teams on the 12-13 line are not separated by that much. I mean, the Wisconsin-Oregon is a perfect example. Like I said, I think the spread's like 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
That they're trying to tell you something. I think filling out a bracket this year, I think what's going to happen is a lot of the favorites, the 1 and 2 teams, are going to get through at the end. But some of the early round games are going to be really challenging. And I'm going to give you another example. Georgia State playing Houston, a 3-14 game. Watch out for Georgia State. Ron Hunter's been in the tournament before. He knows what to expect. He'll prepare his team. Houston, kind of disappointing in the loss against Cincinnati in the finals of the AAC. That could be a really interesting game. I'll give you another one. Yale-LSU. You look at that game and you say, oh, LSU should kill them. They were right there in the SEC tournament. They're not the same team without Will Wade, their coach, who's currently suspended. I think that plays a part in this. Yale is a dangerous team. This is not going to be an easy game either. And that's another 3-14. This tournament has some really interesting first-round matchups. And I thought the committee did a pretty good job overall. I was content with the fact that they the teams they left out, the Indianas, the Texases. I mean, you can't reward mediocrity mm-hmm. when a team loses 15, 16 games.
Howie, always a pleasure. Glad you're doing better, and we certainly appreciate your time, okay?
Bill, I'll be happy to go on anytime you want.
Appreciate it, pal. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon, buddy. Howie Schwab from Fox Sports, the bracketologist there, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Talking some Marquette hoops coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Show is on the air. We are glad you are here today. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day and enjoying yourself as we're talking some NCAA college basketball, some breaking news in the world of money and sports. We'll get into that coming up here shortly. We're going to talk some Bucks basketball and Bucks fandemonium as well. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Hey, if you have a Quick Rewards card, you're already earning points and earning stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But if you're not, go in and get one. It's easy. Just stop by any Quick Trip location, KWIK. Go to QuickTrip.com as well. Any Quick Trip location, and you're in. Just walk in and ask for the card, get it registered, and it's that simple. Start earning points right here, right now. And if you're a fleet driver, and many of you drive trucks throughout this great state and well beyond our borders, and you also stop at Quick Trip, there is no reason you don't have a Quick Rewards fleet card. You can get one of those as well at any Quick Trip or Quick Star location. Stop in and check it out for yourself. I'm going to talk some Marquette Golden Eagles basketball. Ben Steele, the Journal Sentinel, now joining us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline, the Marquette Golden Eagles beat writer. Ben, how you doing today?
Good, man. I'm in the airport getting ready to head to beautiful Hartford, Connecticut. Just getting ready for March Madness, man. It's the best time of year.
It is. It's kind of a breakout season, if you will, for Wojo and Marquette, but they stumbled down the stretch.
Yeah.
My question is, and you've covered them all season, which team shows up in the tournament?
I think they're going to be ready. I think if you saw that last game they played in the Big East tournament, that's semifinal against Seton Hall. It's an ugly, crazy, technical foul fest game. That was just—it was crazy, and that the team was very, very angry after that one. I've never seen the players so frustrated at the end of that. So I think they're gonna kind of channel that a little bit going into this NCAA tournament game.
Marcus Howard obviously is the guy that the straw that stirs the drink in all of this. First question is how's the wrist?
Yeah, he says, I mean, he's going to play. He won't admit how much it's bothering him. I think if you look at his stats the last four games, it's clearly affecting him in some way. I think mostly it's his ball handling. It's his left wrist, we should say. It's his non-shooting wrist. But I think he missed six free throws in that Marquette's last game, which for him is... it's crazy. I don't think Marcus has ever missed six free throws in a game his entire life. You know, he's a career 91% free throw shooter. So something's bothering him. He's a tough kid. He's going to play through it. He's not going to miss a chance to play March Madness. So it's just something he's going to have to deal with.
The guys are going to have to pick it up. Sam, Joey Hauser, obviously. Theo John is going to have to play a little bit better. Aneem's going to have to play a little bit better. But really, they're going to need some bench as well, and being able to kind of get this thing done. You can't just say Marcus Howard take us there. He's got to be a guy that's kind of lead you there, but he can't be the guy that can do it all by himself.
Right. Yeah. This is going to be a huge game for all the supporting cast, if you will. You mentioned Sakar. I think he's going to be the key in this first round game. You know, so much of the attention for the Murray State Marquette game is matchup between Ja Morant and Marcus Howard. You know, they're the two highest scoring guards in the whole tournament. But, you know, Marcus isn't going to be guarding Ja Morant. It's Sakar Annam's going to be the guy that's going to be checking Ja Morant on the defensive end. And Sakar's a good defensive player. You know, he's been matched up with a lot of good guards throughout the Big East, Miles Powell and Phil Booth and all those guys. So he's been through the wars, but Ja Morant might be the toughest assignment of the season. So that's going to be huge. You mentioned the bench. Ed Morrow off the bench. He's going to have to provide a physical presence down low, along with the starter at center, Theo John, and Brendan Bailey too. He could be a difference maker. He's starting to play a little more consistently in the last three or four games, and you know he's kind of that 6'8", long-armed guy that could shoot a little bit, and he's the kind of guy that could swing a game or two in March.
I know they're going to have to pay attention to Morant, but the guy Buchanan, man, he impressed me at the end of that Ohio Valley Championship game. The fact that they have one of the best three-point shooting defenses in the country, it seems to me that they're going to put a lot of pressure on the perimeter and make Marquette almost go inside at times. Now, if they do, they've got the 6'8 kid, that Cowart kid. He's solid in 6'9 Williams, but do they have enough inside to, say, stop the Housers from actually penetrating?
Yeah, they're you know, they're an all-round team, much deeper than just Ja Morant. They're a good defensive team, Murray State is, and the key for Marquette that's, you know, kind of been the issue off and on throughout the season a lot later in the season is the turnovers. And, you know, Murray State kind of thrives on that. They got great players that can, you know, take those turnovers, turn them into transition, easy baskets, and John Morant in an open floor. That could be devastating. So Marquette's got to take care of the ball. I mean, that's crucial.
Murray State, no slouch when it comes to the NCAA tournament. 17 appearances. Obviously, they have a lot of pressure when you talk about basketball coming out of the state of Kentucky. But the Ohio Valley Conference is not necessarily a really strong conference.
No.
But the Big East wasn't exactly strong this year, even though there were a few good battles. So what does conference play do for Marquette coming into this tournament, if anything?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Not sure I really have a smart answer for you on that one, but you know, the Big East, it was down relative to recent seasons, but it was top to bottom better on average. I don't know if that makes sense. Just there weren't any, you know, bottom feeder teams. There were just kind of a bunch of average teams. So every game was kind of just like, every game was a battle. There weren't any easy victories. So I think that's kind of hardened Marquette, because every game in the Big East, they had to bring it because there wasn't any easy victories for them.
What was it down the stretch that ailed them?
You know, I think it, you know, they had a chance that late February game against Villanova, chance to kind of, you know, knock out the perennial Big East favorites. And just, you know, really take control of the conference. They couldn't have clinched at that game, but they would have been tough to beat that after that if they had won that game. And, you know, they had a 5-point lead with 5 minutes to go, and they just went cold down the stretch. You know, Marcus was in foul trouble that game. Yeah, that's a game where he hurt his wrist originally, so that was bothering him. And, you know, they blew a chance in that game, and I think it just became like a mental thing after that, you know. And then it happened again the next game against Creighton at home, where they blew a late lead, and then it just kind of spiraled from there. And I think it became like kind of a mental block, and they were pressing too hard, they were turning the ball over, they went cold shooting down the stretch, and just little mistakes, you know, foul trouble, everything just kind of spiraled on them.
Good stuff, Ben. We appreciate it. Enjoy Hartford, Connecticut. There's not a ton to do there. They do have the Hartford Whalers, if you want to catch a hockey game, other than that. But I think they're out of town because that's where they're playing, if I'm not mistaken, that's where they're playing the NCAA tournament, correct?
The XL Center, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to be playing. So you're just going to enjoy a lot of college hoops and call it a week.
Yeah, I'll be busy, man, so I don't think I'll be getting out and about much.
Not a whole lot of good restaurants in Hartford, just a couple, just an FYI. So you'll do fine. Suck up that media meal and get back home.
All right, man. Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Ben Steele, the Journal Sentinel. Yeah, not a whole lot to do in Hartford, Connecticut. My wife's company is located there. She's been there a couple times. And, not much going on in Hartford. 855-830-8648. We're going to talk a little bit more about one of the biggest contracts in history. That is coming up. We'll get back into the Bucks chatter as well. I want to get into that. Also, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. We're going to talk more tournament action coming up after the top of the hour. And we're going to talk with Matt Lewis as well, UW-Oshkosh men's basketball interim head coach, winners of the D3 national title. Want to talk about that. We got Brewers chatter coming up. There's a lot going on. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. Been doing it for 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. No LeBron James tonight. Giannis is questionable. That's going to be the matchup down at the Fiserv Forum as the Lakers come to town to take on the Milwaukee Bucks this evening. But LeBron now officially out. What's he got, Joe? Like a groin injury or something like that?
It's a sore left groin.
Sore left groin.
Well, this game should be less entertaining, I guess. Especially if Giannis is in play.
So, Giannis is listed as questionable, but now with no LeBron, you might think that Budenholzer may just sit him down.
Well, look,
rest up.
I, there's really no excuse. Giannis should be sitting out either tonight or tomorrow. because it is a back-to-back again, and the Bucks actually have, between now and the end of the season, four back-to-backs, which is, to me, a little ridiculous. But there's four back-to-backs left on the Bucks schedule, and it would be wise not to be playing Giannis in each of those back-to-backs, and he should be resting one of those games.
Well,
especially against some of the bad teams that they're going to be playing in these back-to-backs.
It kind of sucks for, you know, look.
It sucks for the people who are going to the game tonight who paid good money.
Well, here's the thing.
That's who it sucks for.
This is, and I'm going to be, this is where I'm going to side with myself, even though I don't want to. Here's the reason why. I have always said you're buying a ticket to see a game, not to see a player. And I actually bought four tickets for tonight to the tune of about, we'll just say, just under $800. It's my son's Christmas present. So back when everything was going on and it looked like the Lakers were heading in the right direction, it looked like a great matchup. So I paid for them and I bought them. And my son just texted me and said, hey, do you want to sell them off? And I'm like, no, you're still going to the game. It is what it is. You're paying to see a game. That's what I just told him. I just texted him that. I always say this, you can be disappointed, but you can't be angry because you know these things can happen. And so, no Giannis, or at least Giannis, not tonight, not tomorrow, but no LeBron tonight, as LeBron has a sore left groin, so he is not going to be participating, and thus, kind of a lackluster lineup. That demeans everybody else. I mean, because there's intriguing things to see tonight, because you want to see if if Chris Middleton steps up. You know, I mean, does Chris Middleton really start to kind of throw it upon himself now that Malcolm Brogdon has gone down? Bledsoe, Mirotić, you know, you start to go through that list. Brook Lopez, you go through the list of guys. Mirotić is to get his shooting touch back, you know. So you start to look at some of the other storylines and you say, okay, you know, I'm intrigued by this. I'm going to watch for this tonight. But if you're just going to see strictly Giannis and LeBron, LeBron is definitely out. And Giannis, he's listed as questionable. And we know usually what questionable means. It usually means that, we'll let you know he's not going to play once you get there.
Correction, three back-to-backs the Bucks have between now and the end of the season. Because they have Cleveland tomorrow night in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game really Giannis should not play in. I'd rather have him play tonight.
See,
at
I would
home.
Too. So at least maybe tonight you get Giannis, but there's been the rumors that you might not. And like I said, no LeBron tonight. But I would not have him play in Cleveland tomorrow.
They have another back-to-back March 31st. It's their final road trip of the year. Atlanta and Brooklyn back-to-back days, Sunday and Monday. I would definitely not have Giannis play against Atlanta, but he can play against Brooklyn if he wants. And then they have one more back-to-back Saturday and Sunday, but that is at home against Brooklyn and Atlanta again.
So no LeBron tonight. Giannis listed as questionable. Bucks taking on the Lakers down at the Fiserv Forum, and hopefully the building is just a rockin'. Coming up in the next hour, Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, the Big Ten analyst, he's going to be joining us as well. In case you missed it, and maybe you're just tuning in, the biggest contract in North American sports history has been signed. In case you missed it, Mike Trout. Now, kudos to the Angels for going ahead and saying, okay, we got it, because this is probably an undervalued contract by the time it's all said and done. Signed a 12-year, $430 million extension with the Angels. $430 million guaranteed over the next 12 years. It's a record commitment in North American sports history. The deal a couple of days away from crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, and, you know, opening up his own bank and maybe island. But he is owed $68 million over the next 2 years. And the Angels then extended the deal another 10 years for $362 million. Trout, who is 27, will be 39 when the contract expires. The overall commitment is $100 million more than Bryce Harper received when he signed that 13-year, $330 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. Trout, a 7-time All-Star and 2-time MVP, eligible to become a free agent at the conclusion of next season. The reported contract would pay Trout an average of more than $35 million per season, surpassing the contract signed by Zach Greinke, who set a record for average annual value with $34.42 million. There you go. Mike Trout, the first $430 million man. I remember when, God, who was it? I remember when Eric Davis of the Reds made $1 million, and he was the first guy to reach $1 million in Cincinnati, and that was a huge deal. Nobody could even fathom that amount of money. And now you're talking $430 million paid to play the game of baseball. Man, oh man, oh man. Talking some college hoops, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News is going to be joining us coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.